Well, you just heard the gospel in song and in preaching. You know, when preachers stay together for a conference, we had a lot of fun. You know, preachers have fun too. This morning, Brother Darvin said, "I don't expect my message to be much over 2 hours." And I just smiled and I said, "Well, I know exactly what I'll say if that's the case. I'll just get up and say ditto." I do say that, ditto, everything he said. What a blessing. Thank you, Brother Darvin. My text this morning is out of the Gospel of Luke chapter 2. If you would turn there with me, please, Luke chapter 2. While you're turning, let me say that I like to watch documentaries on different things. Things that interest me. But the documentaries and the biographies, the life stories, the memoirs of famous men and women today they read more like a novel than they do a biography. People are interested in the rich and famous. They want to know where they were born. They want to know where they lived, their upbringing, what they ate, how they dressed, the things that they liked and disliked. But in these verses before us here in Luke chapter 2, we have a very short, yes, yet concise biography of a man who will be forever recorded on the pages of God's inspired word. Darvin referenced him in his message, a man named Simeon. Look at verse 25. "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him." Now that's a very short and to the point biography. His name was Simeon. He lived in Jerusalem. He was a just and devout man. He waited for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. That's pretty much all we're told about Simeon. You know, our existence in this world has never been about us, has it? Our existence is about the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And less that is said of us, and the more that's said of him, the far better off we'll be. Now this story before us, in just a few short verses, is worthy of our attention. Did you notice that the Holy Ghost put that word "behold" at the beginning of the statement concerning Simeon? Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And it's very interesting to me that the name Simeon means hearkening one. Names in the scripture mean something. The name Simeon means one that hears and obeys. When I die, I would be elated, absolutely elated with such a biography as Simeon's. I would be forever delighted and thankful if this could be said of me. First, that I dwelt in Jerusalem, spiritual Jerusalem, the habitation of peace. This is where all God's people dwell spiritually. Both in this life and in the next, Christ is our Jerusalem. Christ is our habitation of peace. Oh, that it might be said, that's where I live. Secondly, how wonderful would it be if my biography noted that I was considered a sinner who hearkened unto the Lord and was one who heard and obeyed God's voice. The Holy Spirit did not say, "Behold, there's a king of Jerusalem by the name of Herod." Doesn't say that, does it? The Holy Ghost did not record, "Behold, there was a high priest of Jerusalem whose name was Annas." It simply says, "Behold, take notice, Pay attention. There was simply a man just like any other man, a man who was a sinner, whose name was Simeon. There's nothing special about him, but there was definitely something special done for him. Oh, how wonderful if it would be said of me, David Edmondson, only a sinner saved by grace. That'd be wonderful. Thirdly, how delightful would it be if it was said that my character, like Simeon's, was just and devout. Just was Simeon's character before men, and devout was his character before God. Was Simeon a father? Well, we're not told. It's just such a short biography. We're not told if he was a father, but if he was a just father. He didn't provoke his children to anger, lest they should be discouraged. Was Simeon a master? Well, we're not told, but if he was, I can assure you, he was a just master. He would have given to his servants that which was kind and right and just, knowing that he himself had a master in heaven. Was Simeon a merchant? Well, we're not told. But if he was, I can assure you, he was a just merchant. He would have not overcharged for his goods or his services. He would have conducted himself honestly in business before God. Was Simeon a servant? Again, we don't know. But if he was, I can assure you, he was a just servant. He wouldn't have rendered eye service as a man pleaser. In singleness of heart, he would have faithfully served his master, his boss, as he faithfully served his Lord. Oh, that might be said of me. According to many Bible scholars, it's very possible that Simeon was one of the teachers of the Jews. We know that he was in the synagogue, undoubtedly had a high position there. There was a Simeon who lived around this time who succeeded his father as president of the Sanhedrin, whose son, Gamaliel, you remember that name, he was a Pharisee whose feet the Apostle Paul was brought up after and under. But if this Simeon was that teacher of the Jews, you can be assured that he was a just and a faithful teacher, one who spoke what he knew concerning the Word of God, and he didn't do it for any gain or filthy lucre. Before men, Simeon was a just man. But that's only half of his character. He was also devout, devout before God. Luke does not say Simeon was just and religious, does it? No, he was just and devout. Being religious is a term often used to describe an outward action of religious observance. It's not a real complimentary term. People say you're religious. Now, to some it might be, but it sure wouldn't be to me. A man may be outwardly very religious without at all being inwardly devout. That word devout means devoted. Oh, I hope that can be said of me. He was devoted to his Lord. The word devout means God-fearing. Simeon possessed inward and spiritual grace. Behold, says the Holy Spirit, and it's a rarity, a man who is both just and devout. No doubt that man is a godly man. And fourthly, I hope that it can be said of me as it was Simeon that I waited for the consolation of Israel. Simeon was waiting, as Darwin said, for the consolation of Israel. What does that mean? Well, what was he waiting for? He was waiting for someone. He was looking for someone. As Darwin said, every day in that temple he was looking. He was expecting someone. Christ was the consolation of Israel. Simeon was longing, he was looking, he was expecting Christ the Messiah and the Redeemer to come. Now, if the Lord Jesus doesn't come again before I die, oh, how I hope that it can be said of me, David was a man who trusted in Christ. He was a man who was waiting for Christ's return. I've always wanted to be a good husband, and so many times I've failed to be such. And I've always desired to be a just father, and I've miserably failed time and time again. But I so desire to trust Christ. Oh, how wonderful it would be in the end that that could be said of me. I know this much. Men and women do not usually find Christ, nor do they usually find salvation if they have no interest in Him. Those who do have an interest in redemption, do you have an interest this morning? I believe you do. You wouldn't be here. If you have an interest in redemption or the forgiveness of your sin, most of the time those that don't will not find it. But if you do, most of the time, if not all the time, I'd say more like all the time, when you'll find it. If you're looking for it, if you truly desire, I can't find anywhere in the Scriptures, and I love saying this, where the Lord turned down any sinner that wanted salvation. Not one time. Those that don't have an interest in redemption, they don't find it. But those that do, most certainly do. That Pharisee that went up to the temple to pray, he wasn't seeking God for help, was he? No, he prayed thus with himself, the Scripture says. He went to brag on himself before God. We have a lot of that going on in so-called churches today. Lord, I thank you that I'm not like other men. I'm not an extortioner. I'm not unjust. I'm not an adulterer. I'm certainly not like that publican back there in the back. Now let me tell you all that I do. I've told you what I'm not and what I don't do. Now let me tell you what I do. I fast twice in the week and I give tithes of all that I possess. God knew what he was. God knows what men are. God knew what he did. God knew what he didn't do. But God didn't know him. There's going to be a day in the judgment when men stand before God and they're going to go, Lord, Lord. Oh, that sounds good coming out of a man's mouth, doesn't it? Lord, Lord, haven't we done many wonderful works in your name? While we've cast out devils, we've preached the gospel. And what did the Lord say? I never knew you. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now, wait a minute. You're telling me that preaching the gospel? Well, are you preaching the gospel? Is it really the gospel? Is it really the good news for sinners? We've cast out devils in your name. He calls them workers of iniquity. That publican, he's standing afar off. He wouldn't so much as lift up his eyes in heaven. He smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. As if he was the only one, only sinner. There was a man that was seeking God. Are you seeking God this morning? He was seeking mercy because he was guilty. He acknowledged his guilt and he got mercy. And that publican, not the Pharisee, we're told went down to his house justified. Men and women usually don't find mercy unless they're seeking it, unless they're looking for it, unless they're longing for it, unless they, like Simeon, are waiting for it. Simeon found Christ because he's looking for him. Simeon found Christ because he was interested in him. Are you interested in the Savior? Are you seeking, are you looking and longing for Christ? This is the kind of sinner that finds help. Those of you that he's found know that to be so, don't you? Those who know their own inability. My, my. There was a woman that was diseased for 12 long years. The Bible says she spent all, she spent everything she had. She didn't have anything. If you spend everything you had, you don't have nothing, do you? She spent everything and therefore she had nothing. She was broke. She was bankrupt. She had nothing to offer God. You don't either. You might think you do, but you don't. She went to every doctor. She went to every specialist. But none could help her. Matter of fact, the scripture says she grew worse. Yet she had hope. And she said within herself, if I can just get to this man called Christ, I will be made whole. What faith. What faith. And I'm convinced that poor woman crawled on her hands and knees though through that great crowd of people. Because she said to herself, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. Where's the garment? It wasn't the hem of a garment found. She said, I could be immediately made whole. Are you interested in being made whole? What was she doing there? What was she interested in? What did she desire and long for? She wanted to be healed. She wanted to be whole. I hope and pray that it be said of me. This sinner came to the great physician and was graciously healed and made whole. Are you like Simeon? Are you interested in knowing who the Savior is? Those who seek the Lord will find Him. Our Lord said, you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. There's no doubt in my mind Simeon was searching for the Lord with all his heart. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness. They shall be filled. If you're hungering and thirsting for Christ's righteousness, you shall be filled. And yet God has to give you that interest and that desire to seek after that righteousness. And then fifthly, I hope that if folks remember me in any way, that it might be said that I had the Holy Ghost upon me and in me. Not as men portray it today, you know. You see, beloved, Simeon wanted help. Simeon needed help. And those that do, find it. Simeon wanted mercy. Simeon wanted to know the Lord. Do you? Do I? Look at verse 26. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost. If it's ever going to be revealed to you, that's how. By the Holy Ghost. God's got to reveal it to you. But it was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. I love how that reads there. This is the Lord's Christ. This is not some Christ that men have made up or the Christ of men's imagination. There's a lot of them. There's another Jesus, but Paul said he's not another. The Holy One. But that he would not see death before he saw the Lord's Christ. Verse 27, and he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents, now let me stop there, that's Mary and Joseph. They brought in the child Jesus, and we're told that here that Simeon was led by the Holy Spirit to Christ. No sinner ever comes to Christ by his own wisdom. Simeon would have never seen the Lord had the Holy Spirit not led him to the temple. He didn't know when Christ was coming. He didn't know that Christ would be there this day. He didn't even know who Christ was. The Holy Spirit led him there at the same time that the Holy Spirit brought Mary and Joseph there with that baby to do unto him, we're told, after the custom of the law. Now, I have to ask this because I hear this so much today, and I just detest the word. But was it luck that caused Simeon to cross paths with the Lord Jesus Christ? Boy, that's a word I wish we'd just strike out of the dictionary. No such thing as luck, is there? Men like to attribute everything to three ladies of chance: Miss Fortune, Lady Luck, and Mother Nature. It wasn't luck that brought Simeon to cross the path with the Lord Jesus. It was the Holy Spirit. And it's the same with you, those of you that know Him. Our Lord said, no man can come to me. No man has the ability to come to me. Except, here's the one exception. Except my Father which sent me, draw him. Oh, there's no doubt in my mind that this sinner was drawn to Christ by the cords of love, mercy, and grace. I could not come. I would not come. He made me willing in the day of his power. That's the testimony of every believer. As many as received them, to them gave he, God, the privilege to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Salvation is a work of God. Salvation is of the Lord. The Holy Spirit brought Simeon to Christ. And if any sinner ever comes to Christ, that'll be exactly how. It'll be by the Spirit of God. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him. But He hath revealed them unto us. How? By His Spirit. God has hid these things from the wise and prudent and has revealed them unto babes. Oh, to be a babe in Christ. Verse 26 tells us very plainly, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost, that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. We call that divine revelation. What a wonderful truth that is. God, the Holy Spirit, reveals these things to us. The Holy Spirit revealed to Simeon that he would not die physically until he saw the one who would save him forever. That being the Lord's Christ. The Lord's Christ is the Lord Jesus Christ. Not the Jesus that men and women imagine, not the Savior of men's imaginations. No, it's the Lord's Christ that saves sinners. Is the Lord's Christ your Christ? Is He your Savior? Have you seen the Lord's Christ? Have you seen the Lord Jesus Christ? God reveals Christ to fallen sinners, seeking sinners, hungry sinners, needy sinners, helpless sinners, waiting sinners, longing sinners, looking sinners, believing sinners. No doubt Simeon had waited for some time, more than likely. I picture him now. He's become a gray-headed man. He's passed the usual allotted time of life to a man. He didn't wish to live forever here on earth. He had hoped and prayed and desired to see the Lord, and now he received the fulfillment of his desire. Look at verse 27. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. Then took he him up in his arms, and he blessed God, and he said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Simeon didn't wait in vain. Oh no, he waited for Christ, the consolation of Israel, and now he saw what he had waited for. He said, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. As Darwin said, it's in a person, isn't it? Salvation's in a person. Jesus Christ is the consolation for spiritual Israel. Jesus Christ is God's salvation for chosen sinners. Day after day, he looked for the fulfillment of God's promise. Day after day, he went home disappointed. But he waited. He waited. You see, those who wait on the Lord, he shall save. Proverbs 20:22. Day after day, Simeon hoped. Simeon waited. Can you picture his disappointed face as he went home day after day? His eyes dark with distress. His forehead wrinkled from the frown of discouragement. He wanted to see, but he couldn't see. He desired to know, but he did not know. The Holy Spirit's promise had encouraged him to wait, but in his believing, unbelieving moments, he became discouraged. It's easy to do. But let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. That's God's word to us. For God is faithful, they promised. Boy, that's some of the most comforting words I've ever seen in the scripture. God is faithful, they promised. And I'm so thankful that my salvation doesn't depend on my faithfulness to him. Amen or oh me on that one. My salvation depends on his faithfulness to me. He is faithful that promised. And it was then that Simeon, he saw that young mother holding that baby, and he knew. He knew. He didn't know how he knew. I had someone ask me one time, how do you know you're saved? I just know that I know. How do we answer that? I know he revealed it to me. Because he revealed to me the Lord Christ. He took that baby up in his arms. I've pictured that in my mind 1,000 times. And he blessed God. Oh, believe me, dear sinner. You'll bless God when he reveals Christ to you. You'll know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it was God who revealed him to you. Simeon blessed God and he said, Lord, let your servant depart in peace according to thy word. Well, why would Simeon now be able to depart in peace? Well, first of all, it was according to God's word. That's what God had promised him. You know, not long ago, I had 2 high school classmates died at the ages of 66 and 64 years old. I'm 65. And I had another classmate call me who had heard the same news. And the first thing he said to me was, you know, that could have been you or me at any time. And without thinking, I just blurted out, I'm ready to go. You know what? I am. And, you know, it upset him. I said, I'm ready to go. He goes, really? He couldn't fathom that. I guess he thought that I was miserable with my life and was just ready for it to end. Maybe he took it as me having nothing here to live for. You know, most everyone in this world is trying to figure out a way to stay in this life just a little bit longer. Not the believer. God's people were ready to go, and why wouldn't they be? To die is gain. Isn't that what the scriptures say? Do we really believe that? To die is gain. To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. Why should we be afraid of dying when it's a promotion? It's a departure onto more wonderful things. Life everlasting, to ever be face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. Death is just a departure. All who have and hold Christ in their arms are like Simeon. They're ready to depart. That's what he said. Are you ready to depart? Why? For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Simeon not only saw Christ with his natural eyes, he saw Christ with the eyes of faith. He saw Christ with enlightened spiritual eyes. Simeon now held in his arms the one who holds the universe in his. Isn't that an amazing thought? God stooped so low that a poor woman bears God in her womb. You know, we talk about the condescension of the Lord Jesus. We don't have any idea. God, who spoke the worlds and the heavens and the universe into existence, condescended to be in the womb of a woman. And it's in her arms, and she calls him her babe. Oh, with that in mind, friends, there has to be salvation for the lowest and the poorest like you and me. If God would condescend that low, there's hope for one like me. When God the infinite would stoop to become an infant, born of a woman, born in a stable, publicly acknowledged as a poor woman's child, is there any doubt at all that he would have mercy and receive the poorest, the lowest, and the most despised sinner like you and I? Oh, that gives me great hope. And I can see it does you. Why has Mary brought him to the temple? You ever thought about that? She had brought him to redeem him. You see, the law required it. Was Jesus Christ under the law? Well, he was perfect. Well, he was under the law for our sake. Made of a woman, made under the law. Oh, the wondrous stoop of deity that God the Son would become flesh and blood and honor the law and satisfy God's holy justice for unworthy, wretched sinners like you and me. Best news I ever heard. Emmanuel, God with us. He's brought salvation to fallen yet chosen men and women. Simeon saw a perfect obedience brought to God. From the very beginning, as an infant, the Lord Jesus Christ was brought under the law. That's why the Lord would one day say to John at his own baptism, he would say, "Thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." He's fulfilling that for you and me. Not a jot or a tittle of the law would Christ omit. Even as a babe, he was circumcised. As an infant, Christ was presented in the temple according to the law. And Simeon saw that infant, that babe. As the promised Savior, the Messiah, the Christ. And he looked back to the old covenant, and he saw this one, and now that he now holds in his arms. What did he see? Well, he saw that babe as Noah's ark. All who were in the ark, all who were in Christ, were safe from God's wrath. Everyone outside the ark perished. But those in the ark, you know, the wrath of God, the rain that God sent fell on Noah and his family too. What was the difference? They were in the ark. Simeon saw Christ as the burning bush. He was the one who would burn with the heat of God's wrath and would not be consumed. Simeon looked back and he saw Christ as that pillar of smoke and fire that would lead his people to the land of promise. Simeon saw Christ as the Passover lamb, the one whose blood would be shed that would cause God to pass over his guilty people in mercy, grace, and forgiveness. That's what he saw with the eyes of faith. Simeon saw Christ as a smitten rock, that one from whom living water flowed when he was smitten of God and crucified. Simeon saw Christ as the manna from heaven. He's the one that came to save his people from their sin and sustain them forever with his body which was broken and his blood which was shed. Oh, he saw much more than just a baby. He saw much more than just an infant. Simeon saw Christ as the brazen serpent that we talked about last night. All who looked to him, high and lifted up, would be delivered from the fiery serpents of sin. And Simeon also saw Christ as the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He saw much more than just a babe. But that's not all that Simeon saw. As he gazed upon that child, the other night when we got in, Ben and Sarah had their little girl there, and what a cutie pie she is. And she just smiles all the time. You know. Simeon saw the Lord's in as a babe, but he saw much more than just a cute baby. He also looked ahead. And he saw the agony and the bloody sweat of that babe in Gethsemane's garden. He saw ahead to the cross and the passion, for he knew that the incarnate God would not shrink one iota from anything which his Father had given him to do. That fair and lovely face of a baby, Simeon by faith, could see it marred more than that of any other man. Simeon saw that the Lord Christ would suffer the wrath of God in his place. Simeon now saw that child was full of life, but with the eye of faith, he saw him dead. Crucified upon a cross as the worst criminal that ever lived. Dead because the law had carried out its penalty. Dead because the sin bearer has been made sin. Made to die. And no doubt the Simeon also saw Christ's resurrection. Death in the grave couldn't hold him. They could claim no victory against a perfect man. God's law condemns the guilty, those who are really guilty, but Christ was not, was he? He knew no sin. Can't claim any victory against a perfect man. And God the Son said, it's finished. And God the Father said, it's enough. And Christ returned to the Father, having accomplished eternal redemption for us. You know when a man or a woman rests? When the work's finished. As we turn our eyes back to Simeon, it seems that the old fella now no longer wants or needs his staff to lean on, because he's, with both of his arms, he's holding this baby. How young he felt. Gabe, how happy he was. Don't you know he was? Joy fills his heart. His eyes have seen God's salvation. Have your eyes seen God's salvation? The whole of salvation is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing more that we need. What is there for us to add? I heard Darwin use this illustration one time. Would we dare go to a famous art museum and look at one of the masters and pull out our crayons and say, you know, I think I'm going to improve on that a little bit? Well, they throw you in jail so quick, you wouldn't have time to put your crayons up. Do we dare add anything to the perfect work of our master? No. No, what's there for us to add? What more is required? Washing? No, there is a fountain filled with blood that washes sinners clean. What more is required? Clothing? No, there's a spotless robe of righteousness provided for us. The prodigal returned home and the father said, bring me the best robe. What more is required? Medicines? No. By His stripes we are healed. What is there of ours that we could bring to Him? Shall a creeping worm. You know that word means maggot. Oh, brother, please. No. That's what it means. Look it up. It means a maggot. Shall a creeping maggot worm be needed to complete the work of the one who created the world? Now, either Christ is your everything or He's nothing. Which is He to you? Do you see Him? Has He been revealed to you? Will you take Him into your arms? You know, I don't see anywhere in these verses where Simeon asked Mary if he could take the child, or Mary asked Simeon if he would. And yet that's all you hear in modern day preaching. Won't you give Jesus your heart? Let me let you in on something. He don't want it. He don't want your desperately wicked and deceitful heart. Our heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. He don't want it. He has to give us a new heart. Oh, if you see your need, you won't have to be pleaded with or bargained with or begged to take Christ in your arms. No, sir, you'll just take Him. No one will prohibit you either. You know, and after Simeon took the Lord in his arms, he didn't want anything else. He didn't wish for nothing else. He longed for nothing. Why? Because he had it all. He'd seen his salvation. When you see your salvation, when God reveals Christ to you, this life just kind of loses its luster, doesn't it? We work all our life to have things, and then God saves us, and they just don't mean anything. Why? Because we have Him who is life. Do you have everything you need? Well, if you have Christ, you do. If you have Christ, you have everything that God requires. Christ is all and in all. You know, we read that, but He is. He's all and in all. He's all we need. All that God requires. He's that one thing needful that we've already talked so much about. He's that good part that can never be taken away. Never be taken away. Have your eyes seen the Lord Christ? If they have, then you've seen salvation. And if not, may God make it so even now. For His own glory, for your good, and for Christ's sake. Amen.